Good evening and welcome to another one of our Jacksonville Jaguars fan forums. My name is Joe Fortunato. Tonight we're happy to have as a special guest the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Now, of course, if you want to post a question to the coach, all you have to do is just hit *3 on your telephone keypad. You'll be put through to one of our operators. They'll take your questions, get it right onto the coach. Just hit *3. You'll be put automatically right back into the forum. If you ever want to speak to one of our operators, I'll also tell you later on how to do that. We can tell you about our half-pack promotions, also about our single-game tickets. But right now, to get things started, we've got the head coach and, of course, the voice, Brian Sexton.
And welcome to our call, exclusive for season ticket holders and those of you who have been season ticket holders, as we are just a little more than 2 weeks away, or a little less than 3 weeks away, however you look at it, from the start of an exciting 17th season of Jaguars football here in Northeast Florida. And so over the next 40, 45 minutes or so, we'll take your questions for the head coach and have a light conversation, intimate, more intimate than a radio show, the opportunity for you to send the thought over here. And so we'll talk to the head coach about that. But first of all, coach, I mean, this is one of the busiest times in a football coach's year. And does this year seem more chaotic to you in some sense because of the compressed nature of August, not having, you know, 4 or 5 months run up like you would normally have with your guys?
Well, at this point, it's actually becoming very similar to how other, you know, camps end and then, you know, seasons begin. That beginning, though, was really, it was really hectic. I mean, you know, because you condensed, like you said, you know, the off season kind of came to a close and an open all at once. So you had free agency, you had college free agency, you had the camp opening, you had then pro free agency starting, and all of that, like, while you're still signing people and trying to get your squad put in place, while you're going into camp and actually adjusting schedule. So the other thing we had to do is adjust, even though we had, you know, version after version of how it may unfold. In the end, there was still adjustment necessary to the final verdict, you know, on the CBA and what you could and could not do with your football team. So a very, very busy time.
I know you're a big reader. Do you ever tend to write a book?
Not yet. My wife keeps telling me I need to.
Well, because I think this year would be a great chapter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about getting into routine, and you're always overcoming and adapting from injuries and different things like that. But this was different. This shook the foundations of the way that coaches prepare for a season. And it really challenged you and your staff, I know. You guys weren't sitting idle all year long.
Right. That's where we actually feel like there's an opportunity to get an advantage. Because as a staff, we feel like we mapped out a plan. Obviously, I provided a little bit of vision for what I saw, and as a staff, we worked on different scenarios. We also did some studies, and then we got an opportunity to kind of sit back, digest it, study what we had done, study what we wanted to do going forward. And so when we actually got our hands on our players, I feel like we had a lot of good teaching to kind of, you know, share with them. And so we've had a very productive, you know, last month of this camp.
What did you learn about your team when you did your studies that might surprise some people? Was there anything or?
Well, it's more about, like, specific technique. Okay. You know, when you're looking at some of the top players at their respective positions around the league and some of the techniques that they're using, system-wise, obviously studying. You know, you always want to have some freshness in your system, but you also want to make sure that you can settle in and do some of the things that you need to do well. And so, you know, we did some various studies, you know, clock management. You know, I always study. I mean, people like to think that maybe I'm just going for it haphazardly on fourth down, but, you know, some studies regarding, you know.
You think Joe thinks that?
Even Joe. But some studies regarding, you know, how the percentages are in your favor in certain situations and when you should or should not go for it. So things like that, we're all part of it.
All right. Folks, again, we'll grab some emails as we go through the course of this. You know, one of the things, Coach, you also have a couple of new coaches on your staff this year. And one guy who's in a different role, and that's Mel Tucker. You've stepped away from being the head coach and defensive coordinator. What was the genesis of that? And what have you seen from Mel? And what do you think Mel's great strength is as a coordinator?
Well, I think, first off, it really wasn't anything different than a natural progression. When Mike Smith and I first started here together, when he was my defensive coordinator and he came aboard, I basically shared with him some of the responsibilities, much like I did with Mel last year. Would jump in and call it sometimes on Sundays, and, and really wanted to put my imprint on how the defense was going to look. And really that was no different with Mel. And so, you know, we reached a point where I believed that it was time to turn it over to him. And it really kind of played out in an awkward way because of the way, you know, Wayne put it out there.
Yeah.
The season ended. Obviously, it was a disappointment. We didn't finish the way we wanted, all that. And in my discussions with him about going forward, I said, listen, you know, one of the things we have to do is get Mel Tucker done. And that what I wanted to do was go back to being a head coach and not necessarily the defensive coordinator. And so I thought it was important we got Mel done. And so, you know, the end result was the way it kind of came out was like somehow he was, you know, banishing me, you know, away from the defense. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, the reality is I'm still very much involved in all three phases. And
right.
And defense in particular is my baby. And so, but Mel and I have a great working relationship. What Mel has done is really taken off with, much like Smitty did, you know, taken off with his preparation, his imprint on the defense, and doing a heck of a job motivating our guys and steering our guys in the right directions and emphasizing the things that we have to emphasize to be a great defense. And I have a lot of respect for Mel Tucker and the job he's doing. And I think he's got us right on track to play some great defense.
You know, you had a great answer. Since we're talking about the end of last year and your meeting with Wayne, you had a caller on your radio show that we just completed here across mm-hmm. our network, and he asked you about that and you know, go to the playoffs edict and if that was pressure for you. And I thought your answer was a great answer. Do you mind sharing it with people?
Sure, sure. Well, I said, listen, if you're a part of this league, you understand that pressure is a part of what we do. And I think there are two ways you can deal with pressure. You can, first of all, you have to understand it's there. But you can either feel it or you can apply it. And I've always been very aggressive in my nature. I've always taken things on head on. I've always been a doer, somebody that believes in the things that I'm doing. And so I look forward to the challenge. I look forward to the challenges in particular because I know I have a much better team. And so I feel good about the prospects of us being able to back, you know, some of the things that I'd like to see us accomplish.
But, you know, when you've been around this league for 30 years, and I've been around it for 18
sure.
years, and you guys, the coaches and the players, you step into that arena willingly. It's the
oh, yeah.
pressure that makes it, that gives it the feeling that you have on Sunday, knowing that you're playing for something.
Thrive on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thrive on it. I love it.
So when people talk about the pressure on a head coach, I just kind of smile because you –
You mean when they say it as if it may be something bad.
Well, yeah, right, yeah. exactly, which yeah. what you deal with on a regular basis.
Right. No, I've been a competitor all my life. I love the arena that we compete in. I think, you know, at the NFL level, you have the best of the best, you know, coaches and players that the talent level is – there's such a fine margin between the very best and the worst teams in the league. And so how you pull it all together and how you're able to rally your guys and strategic, you know, changes and the chess match of it all. I mean, it's a very exhilarating business to be in.
I tell people all the time, there's nothing like a victory on a Sunday to make you appreciate the Sunday where you don't have a victory. You know, I mean, in this league, it's so week to week, and you're not supposed to go up and down, but, boy, it hurts when you lose, and it feels so good when you win. And
yeah.
that's the part about it that – You go for the win.
And I've heard of coaches that start to lose their feeling good about the thrill of the win. Boy, I hope I'm never in that.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not in that category. But, you know, it does hurt when you don't have success. And obviously it's a great feeling when you do. And really there's nothing like it. We had some magical moments last year, I know. We had a few at home here. We had the Hail Mary pass. Against the Houston Texans.
59-yard kick.
59-yard against the Colts.
Well, how about Mojo for 73 yards to come back and beat that Cleveland team here in November?
That's right. That was a big game. We overcame a bunch of turnovers that day. The Raider game where we had a score fest. We had some exciting football here at Everbank Field.
Going to be fun. We've got some emails. Joe,
okay.
Do you have something to say? I'm just not used to you jumping in. So please, by all means, jump in. What do you have to say?
You know what?
Yes.
Take a breather.
Okay.
I will say some things. How about this, gang? We've got some half-pack promotions to tell you about. They have five-game half-packs. They're now available starting at just $50 per game. Now you can choose the teal pack that features games against the Rams, Titans, Ravens, Texans, and Bucks. Or you could take the black pack, which has games against the Rams, Saints, Bengals, Chargers, and Colts. Now you can spread those payments for your half-pack on a four-pay interest-free payment plan. All you need to do To get your half package, just hit *0 on your phone. You'll be transferred to one of our Jaguar sales reps. They're standing by for you. That's *0 to get your half pack now. You want to do that now, too, because half packs are only available until September 1st. When you hit *0 to talk to one of our ticket reps, you will be immediately placed back into the forum when you're done, so you won't miss a beat here. Also have a poll question for you. If you're ready, you can participate just by using your touch tone phone. How many games do you plan on attending this year? If you're not going to attend any games here, well, press 1 on your touch tone phone. If you'll be at 1 to 3 games, hit 2. 4 to 6 games, press 3. And if you're going to be at Everbank Field for the entire season, press 4 on your touch tone phone. We'll have the results in just a few minutes.
Press 4 for us. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Press 4.
Press 4 right now. Press 4. You don't want to miss the action. If
not only press 4, but then get here.
Yeah, exactly. Got a good schedule. Come on, let's go. It's going to be fun.
Got a great schedule.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I'm asking this. Are we not the winningest startup team in the history of the league?
Yes.
Has anybody ever won more in their first 16 years of existence?
You know, I'd have to go back and look. Before last year, you had 16 in that comp. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think this is the winningest team out of the gate in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and you look at just their first 10 seasons of which you were part, no one was even close.
Right.
I mean, and this team, if you look at all their victories, I think it's ninth. If you look at every team and their one-loss percentage from 95 till now, I think this team is ninth overall. So if you look at the established teams, the Patriots and the Colts amongst them, this team ranks very highly above them for the history of it, or ranks very highly with them for the last 16 years.
Well, I know one thing. You know, last year we had a tremendous push with Team Teal, Captain Baselli.
Yes.
With his new hip.
Commissioner Baselli.
Commissioner Baselli. With his new hip.
Yeah.
Got his hip replaced.
You know, by the way, he's on our Wednesday night show. He's just joined us.
Okay,
he's here every Wednesday that hip.
Well, he'll liven it up. The hip with the lip. That's what we'll call him. All right.
And I'll let you say that to him.
Why? I mean, come on. Tony's good. Tony's good people.
Good like
now, anyway, he's out there in the community last year and really beating the drum. And, look, we respond as a community and fill this place up and don't have any blackouts. And I can't tell you now, from our team standpoint, that fired us up.
Oh, yeah.
We get Everbank putting their name on the stadium, and then we get that happening. Those are two real positives. And then this lockout kind of sucked some of the air out of that. And hopefully people will get back on board. Because, look, I'm telling you, our football team is ready for it. And I think we're going to deliver, and people are going to be happy with what they see when they come out and see us.
Well, Colts center Jeff Saturday, after that loss here when Scobie booted the 59-yarder, he said, hey, look, this place can be as loud as any when they've got that J-A-G-S, Go Jags, Go thing going.
I saw that myself when I came in as a visiting as a visiting coach.
Yeah.
You know, when we would come in here. This place can be special. So
be there with us.
Yep.
All right, folks. Let's grab well, we're not grabbing anyone. I'm reading questions. Sid, in Jack's Beach, how do you improve on tackling, especially now considering the contact rules that you have to deal with respect to the CBA?
Well, Sid, the first thing we have to do is make sure that our young men – don't horse collar, don't hit too high, don't grab the face mask, don't go low, don't hit in the head, and don't lower their head. So after that, you got to get the guy down any way you can. I'm being a little facetious.
Yeah.
All right, so the bottom line is the rules that have been made for safety make it a little more difficult, but the bottom line is you strike a guy, you know, and when you have good players striking people and swarming people, then you have better tackling. I think our defense will improve as a tackling unit this year. Yeah, because we emphasized it, but also because we have better players doing it.
All right. Barbara in Jacksonville wants to know how Maurice Jones-Drew is doing.
Barbara, Mojo is doing great. He's fired up. He's down to about 209, which is going to benefit him. I think when he came in, his rookie year, I believe he was in the 208 range, so he's back down at a level where he hasn't been in probably the last 2 years. I think you're going to see a quicker, more explosive Mojo for 2011. I know he's fired up. He's really – the rehab's been great. He's running pain-free. He feels good about the work he's putting in, and we feel good about the work he's putting in, and we expect him to have a huge year for us.
Harvey in Jacksonville. Have you improved your offensive line?
Well, I think that's like saying, did we improve our tight end position last year? Okay, so And why I say that is because, yes, we did last year, but we didn't change people. Mercedes Lewis took a step forward as a player. So have we improved our offensive line? I think we have. I think we have a healthier young player who has been thrust into duty at left guard in Will Rackley. And right now it looks like he is the front runner on that job. But there's a guy named Jason Spitz who's a Bowles graduate,
sure,
a local young man, local kid that is fighting his butt off to try and be that guy as well. We have two bookend tackles that we drafted a couple years ago going into year three that, like Mercedes, should now mature and take a step forward. It's not that we're going to have a bunch of new names that we're going to plop in there. It's that we're going to have guys develop at their positions. You've got Uche Nwere, you've got Brad Meester, you've got Will Rackley, you've got Eugene Monroe, and Eben Britton. That's our starting five if everybody's healthy. And then we've got Guy Wimper, who's the first guy in while Eben's out, and then Jason Spitz, as I said earlier. So that's a pretty strong seven right there that we feel very good about. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we'll probably keep eight or nine, and those positions are still being fought for.
Well, and Harvey didn't elaborate, but we're talking about an offensive line last year that led the way for almost 150 rushing yards per game, 149.7, which was the third best in the NFL. So they were really good run-blocking line last year.
But we did not protect our quarterback.
Well, that was where I was going.
We did not protect it well enough, and we have not protected them well enough in the preseason thus far for me. So we've got room to improve. I believe we will improve. I think Andy Heck's doing a good job working with those guys. I think they understand what we're looking for, and I do expect to have a stronger offensive line or stronger line play in 2011.
All right. Let's grab Philip in South Carolina, and he wants to know if you will open up the passing game this fall. I wonder if he means if you'll change your philosophy from being such a dominant running team to a more passing team.
Well, I'll say this to Philip. Tony Dungy was once criticized for not opening up in Tampa Bay. And he had Mike Allstott, and he had
work done,
okay, who were Pro Bowl players at their respective positions. And then he had Trent Dilfer, who makes a heck of a broadcaster on ESPN. Okay, and we had him in Baltimore. And we didn't open up when we had Trent Dilfer either.
No.
So, look, the strength of our football team right now is Maurice Jones-Drew, is Mercedes Lewis, is – you know, our backfield, we're six deep. I mean, we're talking about Brock Bolin earlier on our radio show. Brock Bolin is a heck of a football player. He's probably number six in our pecking order at running back, and he's a really good football player. So we're going to play the strength of our football team. You know, what happened with Tony Dungy was when he went to Indianapolis and he got a guy named Peyton Manning, then he became a guy who opened it up. So, look, either David develops and we can open it up, or Blaine Gabbert develops and we can open it up. I would love to open it up someday. And we have a lot of good design where we're opened up and doing things. But until that becomes the strength of our football team, we're going to lean on the guys that we know we can win with. And part of that is Maurice Jones-Drew.
All right. Ralph's in Hilton, head coach. And he wants to know what you think of Cecil Shorts, your third-round pick from Mount Union College.
He's okay.
Yeah. See, I wish that Ralph could see the little smirk on your face right now that's turning into a great big grin. Obviously, he's a young man that you think something of.
No, Ralph, appreciate you sending us the text or however you communicated with us tonight. The bottom line is that Cecil Shorts is an exciting young football player. He has come in and been the things that we hoped he'd be when we selected him in the draft. And we think he's got a role for us. We think he can come in and help our football team. We think that, you know, with Mike Thomas, Jason Hill, and Cecil, we think we have three very good football players that we can line up and beat people with. So that's my thoughts on Cecil.
You know, we're in a part of the world where people think very highly, for good reason, about the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, sure.
And they don't necessarily understand that there are good football players all over the place, even at tiny Division III Mount Union College. I mean, it's just – you can find football players. You just have to go dig and then coach and develop.
Yeah, that's you talk about trusting your grade and trusting the tape and all those things that Gene Smith harps on with our scouts and coaches. I mean, you know, if you look at Will Rackley and you look at Cecil Shorts, those guys belong. I mean, there's no doubt. It doesn't matter that they didn't get selected by an SEC school. They very easily could have. Certainly coming out and joining us in camp, they definitely belong. I think that's obvious to everybody that's seen them, and we're certainly glad we have them.
Well, I mean, I've made the point all the time with people. If you go back and look at those great Steeler teams, you know, Terry Bradshaw went to Louisiana Tech, you know, and Joe Green went to Texas Southern and, the defensive
North Texas, right? Was it North Texas?
No, you're right. He went to North Texas. And who was it that was the other defensive end with the gold shoes? Why can't I think of his name? L.C. Greenwood went to Arkansas Pine Bluff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there are great players in the NFL who played in teeny tiny schools, but some scout took the time and some coach took the time to help them become their best.
Where did Howie Long go?
Villanova.
That's a basketball school, right?
Yeah, well, they have football back now. But your point's well taken. I mean, you have great football players. You went to one of the, you know, the pantheons of college football, USC, and you have a long tradition of Southern Cal football players.
Right.
But you will find that there are, you know, Pierre Garçon and in Indianapolis and now Cecil Shorts have put Mount Union on the map.
Sure.
Not to the same degree, but they're good players.
Right. No, so. I think the fact is, you scout players. You're looking for players. You're not scouting the school. And I think Gene and his staff have done a great job of that.
Well, and DeMarcus Ware is maybe the best pass rusher in the NFC, and he's from Troy.
So. Correct.
There you go, Joe.
All right, once again, gang, if you'd like to ask the coach a question, just hit *3 on your touch-tone phone. You could do that right now. Also want to remind you, single-game tickets for all the 9 remaining Jaguars home games go on sale to the public Thursday at 9 a.m. Now, we need your help to make sure we beat the Blackhawks this season, particularly for our regular season home opener against the Titans. That's September 11th. We're also going to be joining with the NFL and the nation on that day to commemorate 9/11 with a series of very special events, so you'll want to be there for that. Now, to get your single-game tickets for that game, just call 904-633-2000 and hit option 4. You could do that Thursday, or just visit Jaguars.com. Actually, what you could do is just buy the Teal Pack, which includes the Titans game. You could do that by hitting *0 right now, or you can get the Black Pack as well. Now, we know many of you on the line tonight had tickets last season, but don't this season. We really need your help, so hit *0 and come on out and support the team. It's going to be a great season. By our poll question, the majority of you did say you will be here for all the games this season.
And we're going to hold you to it.
Yeah, how about that?
Even though we just have email addresses. Okay, so we appreciate that. Let's grab Roy. You know, we got some questions about your sideline attire during your radio show. Roy in Jacksonville wants to know if you've considered having the team wear all white for some home games, and I would assume that would be the 1 o'clock games in September and early October.
Yes, Roy. We have considered it. And, in fact, because we're playing the Saints and the Bengals, who both love to wear their black uniforms, we're going to give them that opportunity. We're going to let them wear their black here when we play them. And since we're rolling it out for them, we're going to be in all white for those two games. We thought we'd go ahead and throw in the Titans in the opener. So
all white.
It'll be all white.
It's been a long time since we've seen
all
white.
It's been a long time. You'll see all white. And our fans can come in all white, and we'll have a whiteout.
Now, that's a great marketing scheme.
There you go.
Right there, folks. Have you worn all white?
Maybe you'll have that white suit on, huh?
And I'll wear my
white suit.
And I'll wear my
Would you wear the white belt? That's what we really want to know.
I'll wear my tan seersucker.
We have to look. I can't remember the last time I've seen the Jaguars in all
white. It's been a while.
Have they done it in your term here?
I think we have.
Boy.
Maybe once.
That'll be really interesting. So you're going to go teal on the road this year?
No.
You're going to wear white?
No, we're teal at home.
Except
the first three.
Okay. Well, I noticed you wore white the other night.
Well, that's because our teal jerseys didn't arrive.
There's the real story. How come they didn't arrive, and who got yelled at about that, Coach?
Drew got yelled at.
Everybody wants to know.
It wasn't his fault, but he did get yelled at.
Somebody's got to be blamed.
That's right.
Just ask my wife. Let's see. We've got Brad on the west side. Will Gabbert have some explosive plays in the preseason?
I think he will have some more explosive plays in the preseason. I think you have seen a couple explosive plays. I mean, he's hit a couple seams that were explosive gains for us, so we'd like to see a few more. But he's had one, at least one, in each of the ball games.
All right. Nicole wants to know she wants to know how Aaron Morgan looks, the young defensive end from Southwestern Louisiana.
He's a handsome young man. tall, dark, and
right,
handsome.
Right, exactly.
He's pretty lean.
Okay.
Doing fine.
That's what someone says. How are you? I'm 6'2", but I'm stretching every day.
Nicole, thank you for the request and the question. He's doing fine. Aaron is a good young player that joined us last year as an undrafted, and was able to stick. And he's in a dogfight right now, and he's very much in the thick of things. He brings an element to us that we covet, and which is he's got the ability to close on a quarterback, and he can really run. So that's the one thing that obviously we would love to see, and he's getting every opportunity to show us that he can do that for us.
The downside is he's got thin calves, right? I mean, you look at 6'4", 238, you think that's a good-sized guy, but to line up
more of a linebacker size. That's why he's a DPR. He's more of a special teams cover guy and a pass rush guy. That's what he is. So there are times when he reminds me of a guy I'm very fond of, Mike McCrary.
Oh, yeah.
Just not often enough, or he'd be starting for us. I mean, because Michael McCrary was unbelievable in Baltimore when we put those great defenses together.
Tony Boselli will tell you he was the toughest guy he faced.
That's right. So, and I know Tony had a lot of respect for him, but, you know, Michael McCrary was only about 240. So, you know, this guy has that kind of desire, that kind of tenacity. He just hasn't been able to put it together the way we'd like to see him do it.
Adam on the south side would like an update on Aaron Kampman.
Kampman is working his way into the lineup, doing a nice job practicing. We're kind of controlling the exposure that he's subjected to. He is practicing in full pads with the football team right now. But we're going to hold him out of Buffalo and then crank him up next week with the St. Louis game here at home.
Two ACLs for him in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Did he change? I shouldn't say change. That's the wrong word. How did he approach this offseason in terms of the rehabilitation? Was it just as if he had done as he did last year with the other knee? Or?
Not quite as aggressive as last year.
Because you're still nursing the other knee back to some degree.
No, well, no? I guess you might be. Not in his mind, certainly, with one that's, you know, blown out and one that's coming back. I think the previous injury is the furthest thing from his mind. I think really it's about the one he's now rehabbing, but he's working at it. I mean, this guy is a tireless worker. He is really made up of the right stuff. I mean, he is a great asset for our organization.
About 15 more minutes here on our conference call with head coach Jack Del Rio. We've got Jeremy down in St. John's County, and he wonders if there are any plans to add a wide receiver. He must have missed our conversation about Cecil Shorts.
Right. May have. Jeremy, no plans for adding a wide receiver at this time, but we are sorting through the guys that we have here, and we feel like we have a pretty good group from top to bottom. The only thing we're lacking is that name guy that would top the fantasy charts. You know, we don't have that Larry Fitzgerald type of guy, but we've got some really good football players that are going to play a role for us, and I think, you know, give us a chance to do some things as an offense.
How does Jarrett Dillard fit in? Missed all last year, mm-hmm. but his rookie season, played in 7 games, had 6 catches. As I remember, they were all pretty decent catches for first downs. I mean, he was kind of a chain-moving guy.
Yeah. The Dillard is a chain-moving guy. He's more of a slot guy. He's had a good camp, and he's a guy that, you know, the tough part about getting Dillard on the field is that, you know, he does some of the things that Mike Thomas and Cecil Shorts do. So, you know, it'll be tough to, like, put him in instead of playing them.
Right.
So it's just one of those situations.
Got another poll question for our listeners. What level of success do you think the team will achieve this season? If you think the team will go 8-8, press 1. You think they'll have a winning record, press 2. If you think they're going to the playoffs, press 3. And if you think they're going all the way to the Super Bowl, hit 4 on your touch tone phone. Mentioned earlier the Titans game and our festivities for the 9/11, I don't want to say celebration.
Remembrance.
Remembrance is a very good word. But you can get single game tickets for that game, but you can also get the Teal Pack. The Teal Pack has the Rams, the Titans, the Ravens, Texans, and the Bucks. Or you can try the Black Pack, which has the Rams, Saints, Bengals, Chargers, and Colts. You can also spread that payment for your half packs on a 4-pay interest-free payment plan. All you have to do to get your half pack is just hit *0 You'll be transferred to one of our Jaguar sales reps. They're standing by just waiting for your call. *0 to get your half pack now. You want to do that now, too, because half packs only available until September 1st.
All right. Coach, we were talking about wide receivers. How about some of those young guys, the undrafted guys? Jamar Newsom, Armin Binns, Dontrell Inman. Inman had a 28-yard catch the other night over the middle for a first down on third down, I believe.
That was one of those explosives I was talking about.
Yeah. And you had Newsom, and Binns had the touchdown. So, I mean, those are three guys we've talked a little bit about locally here, but guys who have a potential opportunity.
Well, they are. The one thing you'll notice about all of them is they're bigger guys. They're all 6'2 to 6'4, you know, can run, you know, 4'5 or better. And they're all guys that that we're kind of sorting through, trying to figure out if there's a guy or two that might be able to stick here. And so that's what we're sorting through. But a good young group of receivers that that has some size, speed, and we're fortunate to have them here.
Well, we talked on your radio show, and I've referenced it a couple of times, but we did your radio show for about an hour before we began this this conference call. And we were talking about the Packers and what the Packers did so well at the end of last year, and that was develop. They developed talent. And you see these three young receivers, and you think, well, I mean, how are they going to factor in? Well, don't think about today. Think about, to those of you listening, tomorrow, you know, next month, next year.
Well, the New Orleans Saints had a receiver come out of nowhere. I think he was a seventh-round pick.
He was, out of Hofstra, right?
A guy named Colston, right?
Yeah, Marcus Colston.
Okay, so a guy like Colston emerges every year somewhere. You know, the Texans hit it big with Foster, right?
Arian Foster.
Okay, remember, I coached him. We coached him in the Senior Bowl, all right? He got hurt. He ended up going undrafted. So, you know, good players – you know, kind of fall through the cracks. So you find them everywhere. You find them at all kinds of different schools, different locations, and you also find them even when they're not drafted, undrafted guys. So they have an opportunity.
All right. Chris is in St. Augustine. He had a question, and he wants to know, how do you get your team to play strong at the end of the year? His question is phrased, how do we not fade at the end?
It's better to burn out than to fade
away.
That's how.
You saw Highlander the other night on HBO
I
as well.
Did.
Huh?
How'd you know?
I did. I saw it too. Joe watched it as well.
Okay. Well, Chris, first of all, you know, my part as a coach is to make sure that I'm working them responsibly throughout the year. I thought each of the last 2 years we had a really young team that needed to be developed and needed to work, and I worked the crap out of them, and frankly, we ran out of gas at the end of the year, and we really weren't that good, and we feel like we've developed some of those guys. They're still here. They're part of our core, and we've added some good veteran players. We're a better football team. So how do we not fade at the end? Well, be a better football team and play good football at the end of the year, and that's what we're looking to do.
All right. Is this Joseph Niemot? Niemot in Clay County. Ever consider using two quarterbacks Wildcat? I think he means to say, have you ever considered using the Wildcat offense in Jacksonville?
I think that's more of a Miami Dolphin thing.
Yeah. And they did it with Ronnie Brown, who's now an Eagle. By the way, who isn't an Eagle this year, Joe?
That's the dream team.
Allegedly.
Well, they're getting all that hype right now. But no, Niemot, we have not considered using two quarterbacks and doing a Wildcat with them running it. It's really more gimmick-based. I'm not saying it can't be effective because – Miami, you know, certainly had a banner day against the Patriots a couple years back, but it's going to be difficult to sustain success at this level with two quarterbacks running the football.
All right, we go to Glenn, Fleming Island. He wants to know if you're impressed with the mechanics and release of your young quarterback.
Yes, Glenn. I think Blaine has good mechanics. He's got a quick release. He's got a strong arm, and I am impressed with that. I think the one area that we need to – coach him up in is to not take off too early. You know, he's left the pocket a couple times this preseason when really he had time to be able to settle in there and operate out of the pocket. And I think part of that is he's a 4-5 guy. This guy can really run. So he trusts his ability to kind of circle the defense. And it's just harder to do at this level. You know, you get a bunch of guys at this level that are also big and also fast, and it's difficult to do. So, you know, can he throw technically, mechanically? Is he sound? Yes, absolutely. He's got a good throwing motion. He's actually spent a lot of time on his drops, and he's improving there. And so, yes, we like his mechanics.
Now, he's the kind of guy that when he gets outside the pocket, has the ability on the run to extend the play. I mean, he's not one of those guys that's just going to run out of bounds. I mean, Peyton Manning is not going to is not a running, throwing quarterback. He's going to get out of the way. This is a kid that can extend the play, right?
He can extend the play, yes. He's got the ability to make plays with his feet. And so he can do it with his feet throwing. He can do it with his feet buying time to throw, or he can do it with his feet by taking off and running.
But
and
you'd rather have him in the pocket.
Well, yeah, you want to work within the pocket, and we'll do some things by design to move him out of the pocket. But the part I'm talking about is when, you know, things are breaking down and sometimes you just need to slide a little bit and buy some time and then get the ball down the field or find your check down. He's had a tendency on occasion to take off and run with it, and that's just a habit we're going to need to break.
All right, Steve from the north side has a question that even I could answer, Coach, and he wants to know if the young man from Fletcher High School out in Neptune Beach, Sam Swank, can make the team. You got a really good kicker already.
Well, I wouldn't say can't make the team because everybody here has an opportunity. I'd say it'd be a very small chance, and something bad to one of our proven guys would have to happen. But
and a guy like that comes into the situation knowing what he's going
sure,
up against.
Sure, sure. No, he didn't come here planning to unseat Josh, but when you come in here, you compete, and he's done a nice job competing, and he's done a nice job getting himself on tape. And if anything were to happen, you know, I think we'd feel comfortable about being able to go back to him. So he's done a nice job representing himself well, and it could lead to an opportunity somewhere else. It could lead to an opportunity here someday.
Speaking of special teams, you have two outstanding Pro Bowl caliber in Kasim Osgood and Montel Owens. Brock Bolin has shown himself to be a very good special teams player. Anyone else starting to rise to emerge as a special teams standout? Any names that are starting to, you know, get a feel for it? Not yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, I know you always
Those are three really good ones.
Yeah. No, they're an exceptional group. How about the return game? Deji gave you an 84-yard return in New England. Scotty McGee has to be lights out as a specialist to be able to make this team. How's his and then I know there was the story in the paper about him the other day. Where do you see him right now?
I think you described it perfectly. I think he's we've got a deep you should record that.
Yeah.
We've got a deep group in the secondary, and he's not going to make the team as a secondary player.
Right.
He does have return ability. He's actually caught the ball better this preseason. He's healthy again. You know, he got the shoulder last year and sidelined him. He had more explosive returns last year. Now, whether it just was blocked better, it just popped for him, whatever, I don't know. But he does have some ability, and so we'll give him some more attempts up there in Buffalo.
All right, got a results to our poll question, whether we're going to have it.
What are we going to do? What kind of year are we going to have?
Well, overwhelming, Coach. Overwhelming. You're going to the playoffs, so you might as well just
love it.
Take the rest of the week off. But that's it. They're overwhelming. We are going to the playoffs.
There you have it.
I think if you watch this team, you can see the defense is ready to play at a higher level. We know what the offense did last year. It's an exciting, fun team to watch. It's a good moment to be a Jaguars fan.
It is.
To see a team on the rise.
If you really look at it, you know, look, we did not finish the last 2 years the way we wanted, but we put ourselves in position with a young, developing roster. And now we have a younger, developed, and healthier roster. And we've added some nice veterans to it. It's an exciting time to be the head coach of this football team.
A couple more thoughts here, and then we'll sign it off in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Well, actually, got Jess, who's up the road in Illinois, and her question is, will the offensive line allow the quarterback to shine?
Jess from Illinois, you've been paying attention. It is part of the process. There is the route running of the wide receivers, the timing of them coming open when the quarterback is ready to deliver. There is the quarterback having the decision-making and the ability to get the ball out of his hand in a timely manner, and so he can be accurate and on time. And the offensive line has to help that process all come together by giving them time. So will that offensive line allow the quarterback time to shine? I sure hope so. That's what we need. And we're coaching it up. We're demanding it. We're looking for it. And without a doubt, you know, we feel like we will, as an offensive line, grow and give our quarterbacks all more time.
All right, you ready to wrap this thing up on a soapbox?
I'm ready.
Okay, because we've got Tim in Jacksonville who just would like a thought from you on how important it is for your team to have this stadium fully behind it, packed out to the rafters. Not that there are any rafters, but You get the metaphor.
I get it.
I'm going to step aside and let you go.
Well, let me just lay it out there like this, Tim. We are your football team. We are the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we do. This is a community effort, and we need your help. And look, Wayne has said that this is his team, and he's going to keep it in this city. And what we need is this city to back the team. And we're putting out a good product. You know, we've had in our first 16 years, we're the winningest team to ever start up in the NFL. So we've put out a good product, and it's only going to get better because we've just gone through kind of the tough times the last couple of years of pruning this roster and building it back strong. So it's a great time. If you're kind of on the fence, it's a great time to get off and get on board because this football team has a nice, young, promising roster that's only going to get better. And if you don't get in, you're going to miss out. Quite frankly, if you don't jump on board now, you're going to miss out because this is going to be a fun ride, and we'd love to have everybody. In fact, not only would we love, we need everybody to fill up our stadium, come out and support us. Our guys get a lift when we go out there and it's packed and the people are pumped. We get pumped.
Joe, I can't think of any better way to end it than that.
All right. Thank you once again for joining us. If you did still want to post a question to the coach, all you have to do is stay on the line, hit *3. You'll be put through to one of our operators. They'll take your question. We'll make sure we get it over to the coach. Of course, 5-game half packs are available at just $50 per game. You can choose the teal pack, which has games against the Rams, Titans, Ravens, Texans, and Bucks, or the black pack, which has the Rams, Saints, Bengals, Chargers, and Colts. Make it easy to pay, too. You can spread the payments for your half packs on a 4-pay interest-free payment plan. Just dial 633-2000. Of course, the single-game tickets go on sale Thursday. Same number, 904-633-2000. For Coach Jack DelRio, for Brian Sexton, I'm Joe Fortunato. Good night. Go Jaguars.